Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cynthia Johnson, and I'm here this morning with Dr. Reggie Johnson, and we're your co-hosts this morning for Circles of Prosperity. And in our chat room, we have Gloria Wells, also another co-host, and we are on the book study, or we're in the book study of Spiritual Partnership, The Journey to Authentic Power by Gary Zukav, and which has been featured on Oprah Winfrey. And it's been an interesting journey, and we've discovered that it's not quite easy to do the work to be in a spiritual partnership, but this is the new evolution of relationships. Or let me put it this way, this is the evolution of relationships. This is where we are going as human beings, how we are evolving as human beings, and that is discovering and living as multisensory human beings. Okay, so good morning, Dr. Reggie. How are you?
Good morning, Cynthia. I feel exuberant and very alive. Thank you very much. It's a wonderful day to be here.
It is, truly. I'm so grateful to be awake this morning. Well, let me see if I can get in the chat room. Some mornings I can get in and some mornings I can't. In the meantime, Dr. Reggie, you want to go ahead and take us into our morning prayer. Bless us this morning.
Yes. As we breathe in and take the breath of life, a gift from you, Father, we thank you for this beautiful thing of oxygen and breathing and living and life itself. We thank you for spiritual partnerships, that we have those who are our spiritual partners teaching us divine lessons in growth and evolution. We are evolving as we are now entering this beautiful age in 2012. Coming to December, the time of growth and love and transition and total evolvement into the energy of light. We thank you for that, that we're learning to live in this existence, in this environment. For those who can't live in it, they don't want to be here. We pray for those souls that they too evolve into the energy of light and love. Thank you for our heartbeats. Thank you for breathing. Thank you for life. Let us never forget to seek first the kingdom of heaven, the first level of gratitude, life itself, and everything else will be added unto us. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Thank you, Dr. Reggie. Oh, my goodness. So yesterday we were talking about the first dynamic of a spiritual partnership, and that is the ability for us to grow together in that relationship. And so today what we're going to do, we're going to talk about the second dynamic of a spiritual partnership. And he says that's choosing the roles that we play. And I think that Gloria, I'm getting it right today, it is true, that was truly Gloria yesterday talking and not Karen. But anyway, Gloria touched on the next chapter, chapter 14, on choosing roles. And the reason it stood out for her is because he uses the word archetype. And we spent some time defining that word, archetype. And Dr. Reggie explained it as a template. And so did Gloria, as a template. It's an energetic template. So the role of husband, we've established the characteristics of a husband. And those, you know, maybe that, I don't know, that this is the one that goes out and works and brings the money home and has a smaller role to play in terms of raising the children. You know, that's an archetype. It's an example of what we should be. And he talks about this in this particular chapter. So let's go and start kind of delving into it a little bit more. And please, today, I need you to press 1 on your telephone keypad if you would like to join in on this conversation, if you have comments or questions, because this book, as some have already suggested, is not, it requires a work. It requires us to really look at who we are, what we're expressing in this thing called life. So as we go through some of these discussions, things may spark up in you and you feel compelled to share that. Please do. We learn so much from your sharing, and you don't know how it will bless someone else who's listening. And don't forget, we don't have just the people on our call listening. We get hundreds of downloads of these shows, and so you never know who you will be helping. Okay, so when an actor assumes a role, he leaves all thoughts and feelings and intentions aside, except those that belong to the character he is playing. He sees through the eyes of that character. He hears through the ears of the character. He longs for what the character wants. And he gains comfort in what the character achieves and is distressed at what the character fails to achieve. His life is not his while he is on the stage. It belongs to the role that he is playing. He cannot break character. Above all else, he must be true to the character. Because the more true to his character he becomes, the more real the character becomes to the audience. And the more the play comes to life. So outside the theater, he can be himself again. But on stage, only the role of his character exists. Even while he waits in the wings for his cue, he stays in the role of his character. Sometimes an actor becomes so involved in his role that he remains in character between acts. If an actor becomes compulsively involved in the life of his character, he lives that role wherever he goes. And this is not healthy. Now, I just want to kind of break this down a little bit more based on the principles that we have studied in Circles of Prosperity. First and foremost, as I was reading this, and the term role continued to appear, I reflected back on our lessons in The Way of the Wizard, which talked about eliminating the roles. Don't confine ourselves to the role of mother or father. And that's where he says, get rid of the labels. How many of you remember that? Okay, so that was number one. That was the first thing that came. And as you move through this chapter, you will see that Gary Zukav is really teaching the same principle. He goes about it differently. And, of course, he is building his argument or his thesis that we are evolving into multisensory beings, and which require that our relationships evolve to spiritual partnerships as opposed to the limiting relationships that we call roles. And that those relationships are based on surviving. But where we are moving into what we're moving into now in terms of our spiritual growth are relationships that promote our spiritual growth. And therefore we are blossoming. We're not just surviving. We are living in our joy. We're living in our bliss. We are living a limitless life. Because the moment you accept that you are just mother, or you're just teacher, or you're just husband, you have limited your perception of your entire life. And he goes through and shares some of his experiences. I just think this is so dynamic. Now, I don't know, many of you may not know this, but let's see how I can say this. There was a time that I was pursuing a career as an actor. And, I mean, that's what I studied in school. And so when he was using this example of playing a character, I totally related to it. There, you know, as you when you go to a school of fine arts, you're totally consumed with your art. And so playing a character when you're studying like this, I think it kind of changes somewhat when you move into the world and you want to and you're pursuing it and getting paid for it. But when you're in school, you're delving into your craft, the art of what you're doing, and you're taking it to huge extremes. And so there were times when, I mean, even as practice, that we stayed in character for days on end, that we lived the life of the character. And what I realized then, but I wouldn't have put it in these terms, but what I realized is when I was living the life of a character, and just even things like going shopping or the clothes that I chose to wear, and these characters are so different from who I was or who I am. I would never do some of these things. In particular, I was really learning. I was into a character that had huge, huge, huge hair, lots of hair. So that was a wig. Lots and lots of makeup, which is not who I am, and short dresses and very revealing clothing. And I went into a bar, and I was not prepared for how men respond to that physical image. And I had to kind of play it all the way through, and it was frightening. But for me to own that character, I went through that experience. And what I begin to realize is that the more you think like another character, you become that character. And then it's a very slippery slope. Dr. Reggie has an adage that says, what you think about, you talk about. And what you talk about, you bring about. I started bringing experiences into my life because I was playing a particular character. And it was manifesting as my reality. So this is a powerful image that he is laying here, a powerful foundation. And it goes back to what you think about, you talk about, and what you talk about, you bring about. He says most people, like the obsessive actor, live the life of the character they are playing wherever they go, although they are not aware of playing the role. They never break character even when they are alone. They remain in their role when they are with friends and family, when they drive and shower, when they eat and work. The role of mother is the dominant role for many women, even if they have careers, although many women who have children play the role of business person, athlete, teacher, and so on. But each individual plays many roles. And whatever the role is, it defines her perceptions, her thoughts, her experiences, and intentions while she is playing it. And the more involved in a role an individual becomes, the less aware of her role she is. In other words, the more invisible or unconscious it is to her. Roles determine how we interact. I played the role, and not me, but Gary Zukav says he played the role of a manly, sexual, rebellious, disdainful adventurer for many years. And all the while, he was unknowingly confined by that role. The role had nothing to do with how other people experienced him, but it did determine how he experienced himself. For example, the role did not allow him to express or even experience confusion, helplessness, or emotional pain. Grief and tears were completely out of character. On the other hand, anger was acceptable, smoking was acceptable, drinking was acceptable, recklessness and disregard for others, acceptable. Intelligence, creativity, and concern for me, that was okay for him, but not tenderness or care for others. Individuals who were not attracted to his role saw him more accurately as an angry, addicted, narcissistic, sexual predator. And of course, what happened? They avoided him. Little, if anything, about his role was acceptable to their roles. Isn't that something? Roles attract roles. Artists attract artists, for example. And within the role, sub-roles, such as musician, sculptor, painter, writer, poet. And when I was in the School of Fine Arts, all of those people were around me. Directors, people pursuing careers as directors, art directors, artists, dancers. We all gathered together. We all could see life with a different skew from the aspect of artists. Everyone plays many roles during a lifetime, and several of them simultaneously, such as father, businessman, and golfer, a sub-role of the role of athlete, or mother, wife, and teacher, or politician and mother, and so on. So an individual can see himself in only one role is analogous to an obsessive actor who cannot leave his stage role behind. He is lost in it. His friends forget who he is without the role. His family forgets who he is without the role, and eventually he forgets who he is without the role. So my question to you, my wonderful, wonderful spirits, what roles are you playing? What roles have you played? I'm asking you today to become consciously aware. And then we're going to learn how to shift. He gives this example here. He says, identification with an illness creates a role of what? Sick person. And that changes behavior and it limits creativity. So you may say, well, what does creativity have to do with being sick? Well, you created the sickness. First of all, we won't go there. but it has to do with how you're going to create the reality of your experience now in the role of sick person. Without identification to without identification, the same illness could provide opportunities to expand consciousness, to create new behaviors, to surpass previous limitations, and unleash creativity. What does that mean here? He's saying, okay, let's say you have been diagnosed with cancer. And cancer is, the word itself brings images in your mind. And the first, I'm going to speak from my perspective, that it you will die if you get cancer. Well, of course, we know that that's not true. There are plenty of cancer survivors. But if that is the energetic archetype that you believe about having cancer, then you are creating that, you're defining how you will live as a cancer patient, which is expecting death, or that this, and being afraid that this diagnosis can take you out of here. But he's saying you have a choice. You can fall into that energetic pattern, that energetic belief system of what cancer can do to you, or you can allow this to expand your consciousness so that you overcome it. And understand that whatever you think about, you talk about, whatever you talk about, you bring about, that is your creative power. And that's why he's saying it. A sick person that changes behavior and limits creativity, if we just fall into how a sick person is supposed to act. I can remember if I had a temperature when I was young, because, of course, if you get a little temperature, mom doesn't let you go to school. And I would just, I'm so sick. And all I had was a temperature, but I still felt pretty good, but I would not let on that I felt okay. I had to be completely devastated, so that I could get out of school. So he goes on to say, misfortunes such as bankruptcy, business failure, and the death of a spouse or a child can also create roles. What, you know, if you're struggling with your business, and you're in an ebb tide where the flow is not coming in the way it is, and you remember the times when the flow was really good, and now you perceive that you are a failure. Do you see how you're taking your circumstances and creating a role and then living out that role that you have failed? And you repeat it over and over. That is limiting your creative power, is it not? Okay. A role temporarily anesthetizes the pain of powerlessness. It's giving you an excuse. So the more you identify yourself as mother, business person, professional, adventurer, spiritual person, the more you attempt to manipulate and control others with it, and the more you mask the pain of powerlessness. Really requires that you stop and say, what am I doing here? I love this because, of course, he's got to talk about Oprah, and I just love Oprah. Before I did a series of television shows with Oprah Winfrey, my role was superior backcountry recluse. But afterward, my role became celebrity, and this was a new role for me, but it was just as confining as my previous role. Earlier, I played the roles of student and then soldier, which were compatible with my role of manly, sexual, rebellious adventurer. And then playing a role does not mean choosing one as you might for a high school play and then practicing and refining and presenting it on opening night. It is being captured by a self-perception and internal experiences that seem so natural, even if they are painful, you cannot imagine being any other way. He's telling you that you make this real for you. That you cannot separate this role that you have adopted and decided to play from your reality because it actually becomes your reality. And that these roles that you play to avoid your feelings, they cover up how you're really feeling and your potential. They deprive you of your potential and responsibility, are unnecessary. They're draining and exploitive. And the scripture that's going through my mind is that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. These roles are so limiting. They kill, steal your joy, kill your joy, and destroy your joy. Like stage sets that appear attractive to the audience but are held crudely in place from behind, roles are just facades. And when roles cease to control you, you become able to choose them and use them. Roles that choose you, that seem so natural that you cannot imagine being another way, they actually imprison you. But roles that you choose are vehicles for you to express your love. Amen. So, a musician who plays the flute or the cello and the piano, you choose the instrument to fit your need. The appropriate role allows you to give your gifts in the moment. So if a role originates in love, ceasing to see yourself in it will have no effect upon your sense of security and self-worth. If a role originates in fear, you are going to feel vulnerable and disoriented and lost without it. So I want you to imagine what your life would be if you no longer had a familiar role to play. For example, if you were no longer a mother or a business person or an educator or a craftsman. This does not mean ceasing to be a mother. It just means ceasing to identify yourself as a mother or to view yourself as a mother and or experience yourself as a mother and experience instead with experiencing yourself as a personality with frightened and loving parts and at the same time an immortal soul. It means ceasing to use the role of mother to shield you from frightening experiences such as attention from men, maybe, or career demands, or feelings of worthlessness or insecurity. Where he's going with this is he's asking you who you need to question right now. Who are you? What role are you playing? Have you put yourself in a prison based on this role? You know, it may be that you are you're buying a particular car, or you live, you know, in a particular area of town. All of this is being dictated by the role you're playing. Is it coming from some area of fear, of judgment, of who you are? Or insecurity? Are you making those decisions based on this role of, I don't know how we would define it, but these are the characteristics of that type of person. And you believe that you believe, let's say you think that those things will define you as a successful person. And what he's really getting you to see, to explore, is if I took these things away from you that you believe define you as a successful person, how would you feel? What would you be left with? Would you then feel like a failure? You see, we don't want you invested in that role which you define as a successful person, because you are much more than that. I love it. He throws this heavy duty statement in here mixed in with all this stuff. He says, instead, he wants you to experience yourself as a personality, acknowledge that you have frightened parts and that you also have loving parts, but at the same time, you are immortal soul. It means that you're not using this role to shield you from who you really are. And here's the deal, guys. We live in a society right now where so much is being thrown at us to define who we are that we forget who we really are and the power we really have. And the reason so many of you tune into Circles of Prosperity every morning is for just a gentle reminder of how powerful you really are. And that you are far more than the media can ever imagine or tell you that you are. Get white teeth and you'll be beautiful. Oh, wear this bra and it'll lift you up and you'll feel wonderful. Wear this cologne and the women will run chase after you. Drive this car and, oh my goodness. Not to say that I don't like nice things. But it does not define me. And I think that's where Gary is going here. Do not be defined by your roles. And is that not the first part of the first lesson from The Way of the Wizard? You are so much more. You are so much more. He says, roles that we do not always notice but that shape our experiences strongly are those associated with gender, such as man and woman, or if with race, white, yellow, black, red, and nationality. Oh, I'm an American, I'm Japanese, I'm Mexican. They are extremely powerful and often invisible, and they take control of the personality without notice. Get rid of the labels. And here's an interesting thing. If we eliminate the labels, it makes it very easy to get rid of the judgments, because the labels have a lot of judgments that come with them, don't they? We have to let it go. And some of us have been just practicing these labels and talking about it in conversations and we just pass this erroneous thought from generation to generation, and we have to stop it. You, as light workers, have to practice what we're preaching and teaching. You can't participate in it. And I have an addiction to politics, so I'm really trying to stop. It's work. A role is an energy archetype, a template such as mother, father, student, artist, and so on. And when you step into a role, in other words, all the characteristics of mother have been defined for us. Mothers are supposed to be this, are supposed to be that. That's an archetype, and we talked about that yesterday. When you step into that role, you enter the energy sphere of that template. And you fall into its gravitational pull. So couples who enjoy themselves as single friends. Have you ever heard it say, well, as soon as we got married, things changed? Because the energy signature of husband and the energy signature of wife became, and they were stepping into those roles. And he says, the stresses that were not present before when you were single, all of a sudden you begin to experience these new stressors of the role husband, the role wife. They are invoked by the archetypes of not only husband and wife, but marriage. Marriage has a whole energetic sphere. And those archetypes begin to define your experiences. But then what do we know? If you are part of Circles of Prosperity, you know that you're creating your reality with your thoughts. And so you need to pull out and expand your definition of wife and husband and marriage. And a lot of people are doing that now, right? We see and it's being met with a lot of resistance. We're seeing same-sex marriages, blended families, redefining, expanding. His big point here in this chapter is that we need to learn how to choose the role rather than the role choosing us. We need to be in control of it. He says, culture and custom dictate the roles of five sensory humans. You remember I just gave you an example of marriage and shifting from being single into marriage because society has defined for us what a marriage should be. And we're redefining it now. As a multisensory individual, you are not confined to the traditional roles. So multisensory males can choose to be stay-at-home fathers or executives or carpenters or nurses. And multisensory females can choose to work in construction. Multisensory humans also develop new roles to access their creativity and deepen their fulfillment and enrich their lives. You know, this journey that we call life is to be in our joy at all times. That's the whole purpose. And there's no right or wrong. You know, your joy may be to sit home and smoke pot all day long. I can't be the person I'm not going to judge you for that. If that's what brings you your joy, go ahead. But you also have to be willing to accept the responsibilities or the consequences of that choice. So, let's move on here. The whole purpose is for you to be in your joy. Every one of you have a gift. Each of you has a gift. And you have that gift because you're supposed to use it and share it with the world. And if you're moving along, I mean, it may not be that you're one that needs to go to college or have, you know, define this life. How many, there's a little Asian, I think he's Asian. What's that movie, The Hangover? And there's a little Asian guy in The Hangover, the movie The Hangover. Do you know he went to medical school? But his joy was being a comedian. Here he is, medical school. I believe he's a full-fledged doctor. But he realized that his joy was being a comedian, and he is pursuing that career. Now, that some of us may say, "Wow, that's crazy." How I would almost bet that His family believed that he would have financial security and success if he became a doctor. And he did everything that his family expected. But inside, all he wanted to do was be a comedian. But he went through the whole gamut until he realized, I have got to live for my joy. He stopped playing the role of doctor. His joy is playing the role of comedian, but it is a conscious choice. And that's what Gary Zukav is telling us now. He says that when you align your personality with your soul, you do not acquire another larger identity for your fears to exploit. You remove the sources of your fears. You create authentic power and support others in growing spiritually. And you choose your roles with the healthiest parts of your personality. If you are moving, when we study creating money, the whole lesson for me out of that book was follow your joy. And the money will follow. If I'm in my joy, the money will follow. When you create authentic power and support others in growing spiritually, you choose your roles with the healthiest parts of your personality. When others do the same thing, they choose their roles too with the healthiest parts of their personalities. Spiritual partners choose their roles. And that's the second dynamic of a spiritual partnership, choosing your role. And it's coming from love, not fear. I'm going to get this degree in blah, 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 because that way I'll have a job, I'll be able to get employed, and I'll have benefits. Fear, fear, fear. He has a whole section in here where he talks about it. He says, well, let me see if I can find it. It was so beautiful how he contrasted. I'm not going to find it in time. Oh, here it is. He says, the difference between the experiences of an unconscious role, and here's the intention of an unconscious role. I love my grandchildren more than all other children. And then the experiences of a conscious role, meaning that you have chosen to do this, is all children are my grandchildren. There's a difference between the experience of the unconscious role of business person. And here's what that intention is. I sell goods and services to maximize revenue and profit. But the experiences of the conscious role of business person is what? I sell goods and services to support individuals in healthy, wise, and compassionate ways. I loved how he laid this out. The experiences of the unconscious role of athlete. Here, listen to the intention of an athlete unconsciously. I compete to win and to be recognized. But the conscious choice to be an athlete is I test my strength and skill against others to reach my fullest potential. Do you see how one is manipulation and control, seeking external power, and the other one is supporting life? It's coming from a place of love. That's so powerful. I hope you guys enjoyed this discussion this morning. Tomorrow we're going to be moving into Thursday is coaching corner tomorrow. So we can, if you have questions, you can go ahead and give us a call tomorrow and we'll coach you through it, especially if you're applying these principles of spiritual partnership. And also on Saturday, we're having another energy infusion and healing circle Saturday evening, August the 18th with Bill Bowers. Dr. Reggie, we have less than 30 seconds if you want to do a closing prayer for us this morning.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much for living And every role that we play, our ultimate role, is a shining, sterling, high diadem of royalty, that we are your children. That's the ultimate role, and that these lights will shine for others to see. Let us walk in our truth of authenticity. No matter who we are paired with in this life, let's walk in our truth. And most importantly, in the energy that matters the most, the energy of love for self and others. We do believe it is so, and so it is.
God bless you.